It's time for JT the Brick.
I'm rolling today. Vegas is the sports and entertainment capital of the world. No debate. Every day we have the ability to talk Raiders, and you can talk about whatever you want to talk about this time of year. There's never an off season in the Raider Nation. I've done this rodeo before. Do we all agree?
Here we go again.
Hey, girls.
JT the Brick.
We want to put guests and callers on the radio who can make an impact. We're going to talk sports, all different types of sports, because we do a sports talk show. We have the best fans in all sports calling this show for over a quarter century. We hope that remains the same whenever you want to pick up the phone. Enjoy everything we do, and please always feel welcome to call in and to tweet and to be a part of the show. It's Big Boy Radio. Are you with me? What do you got? You, the Raider Nation, have an opinion. Use the phone like a weapon.
And now,
this is completely BS.
Here's JT the Brick.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Final hour today on Raider Nation Radio and on the Raiders mobile app. Hope everybody has a good weekend as we wrap up what was a pretty big week around here for everybody involved, those with Coaches vs. Cancer. We had the Raiders golf tournament yesterday, the biggest story by far, and I'll mention it coming up, the passing of Jim Otto. My conversation with Howard Balzer coming up next, the Hall of Fame voter. I did that earlier in the week. We didn't hear it here. But I think it's important to hear a little bit more about Jim Otto and the events around his passing, but more about the legacy of his great life. So that'll come up here in about 20 minutes. So stick around for that. By the way, everything we did on our Jim Otto coverage is on the homepage at Raiders.com. So you just go there. You can see it. It's right there in front on your mainstream computer, your phone, your tablet, and clicking on, and you know, maybe spend part of the Memorial Day weekend listening to the content that was out there on the great Jim Otto. So, again, today's a real big day for me. Today's my dad's birthday, my son's birthday. Dad's 86 today. My son John is 23. So we got a big night lined up for them. A blessing that my kids, my son was born on the same day as my dad, and my dad comes out here with my mom every year. And we had a nice little soiree at the house last night with a couple of cool people in sports in town here. When we were talking baseball trivia, and you know, my buddies were talking to my dad about watching Mickey Mantle play and Joe DiMaggio play and all that. So the conversation around the fire, yes, a little fire later in the night, not that we needed it. It was pretty warm last night over a couple of cervezas, yes, thanks to my friends at Modelo, the number one beer in America. I had a beautiful night last night. We'll back it up tonight and then have a nice long weekend here, and we'll be back on Tuesday on the flagship of the Silver and Black. Wanted to start off this hour with the final call of the Celtics, because the Celtics pounded Indiana last night. This series is over, especially with the Halliburton injury. Indiana should have won game one, and Boston just routed them in game two. Here's how it sounded.
And after a high drama, heart-stopping steal of a win for the ages in game one, not nearly the drama tonight in game two. The Celtics hold serve, and they are halfway home in the Eastern Conference Finals. They beat the Pacers 126-110.
So the Celtics should have no problem with this. Again, if they lose a game in Indiana, I won't be shocked. But I had the Celtics in five before the start of the series here. I wanted to see my Knicks have an opportunity to play them. I thought that would be really cool. And the Knicks would not have won the series. Celtics aren't one of the greatest teams, this unit of all time, but they're very good. And they proved that again last night. And I just thought it was a very sloppy game, other than Siakam for Indiana, who had, what do you have, 28 points, 5 rebounds, 2 assists, and he was 13 of 17 from the field. Halliburton was 4 of 8, 2 of 6 from 3. He only had 10 points in 28 minutes, so he had the injury there. And if he doesn't come back and isn't ready to go, they're just not going to be able to do it. But the game and the balance of the Celtics, when they play at a fast pace and they're knocking down threes, I mean, Tatum was only 1 of 7 from 3, and he had 23 points in the game. But the game was Jaylen Brown's to win. He was 14 of 27 from the field, 4 of 10 from 3. He was 8-11 from the free throw line, 8 of 11. He had 40 points. He was the star of that game. And they win easily 126-110. And Indiana won the first quarter on the road in Boston. I thought they were the better team in game one, but they just flat out could not hold on. They could not hold on, and now they're down 0-2. And again, I think being down 0-2 to the Knicks is different than being down 0-2 to the Boston Celtics. So I think that series is over, and now we're going to have an opportunity to see Luka Doncic and Kyrie Irving get after it a little bit later on tonight, and that should be an excellent game because back is up against the wall for Minnesota. So the Mavericks play at Minneapolis, at Minnesota. That game's going to be at 5:30 tonight on TNT, and Doncic is playing great. Kyrie's playing amazing. Anthony Edwards needs to stop talking about having Kyrie Irving and go out there and put up a big number. I think the moving line on this game is Minnesota -5.5, and I think Minnesota will win this game and cover the spread for a number of reasons. They got to step on the throat of Dallas and get back into the series, and if they're able to do that, they're going to have a really good chance. Remember, they beat Denver in Denver in the last round in the first two games. So we can see what they can do on the road. Well, now they're at home, and they're going to have to take care of business there. They're going to have to get it done. Also, we have the Rangers in Carolina in hockey. Rangers have their back up against the wall as they dropped their first game at home. But let's kick off this hour talking more about what we played this week and talked about our entire lineup. Was OTAs with the players coming back, nearly perfect attendance. And what was the big takeaway from talking to our insiders here this week is Michael Mayer and Brock Bowers. Michael Mayer dominated the press conferences, made national news when he said they think they can do really big things, paraphrasing there at the tight end position. Bowers is a guy, my just feeling on Bowers is he's not going to talk a lot. He's a rookie. He's been kind. He's fulfilling all his Raider requirements with our media in-house. But that doesn't seem like a guy who's going to go out of his way to look for microphones. So those two young tight ends have an opportunity to be unbelievable. And as we mentioned, and I'm going to do it probably here in about 40 minutes, Max getting this contract kick, this bit of a raise, which is a big story here, number one story at ESPN.com. Also wanted to mention a couple other headlines here. Sean Payton is a big topic for Raider Nation because the Raiders could have drafted Bo Nix. They couldn't draft Michael Penix Jr. unless the Raiders traded up to do that because Atlanta took him at number 8. Here comes Sean Payton now praising all of his quarterbacks now as he ran Russell Wilson out of Denver last year. So as they're up there for OTAs, they had their first week, and Sean Payton now is the minister of propaganda for the Denver Broncos, praising all of his quarterbacks, especially Bo Nix. And he has to do this. He has no choice because Payton has made it clear that Jared Stidham and Zach Wilson, who the Broncos acquired in a trade from the New York Jets in the days before the draft, are in full-scale competition for the starting job. Payton was also quick to compliment the work of all three of the quarterbacks there. And if you want to read into it, we're going to see what happens with Nix. I think what Payton's doing is he's trying to calm the media down, and he's going to play Bo Nix a lot this year. A lot. He was asked about Nix's process since the team made him the 6th quarterback selected in the first round last month. Payton said, good. He's farther along than most would be. We're talking about a player who played 61 games in college. He's extremely smart. He's picked it up very quickly. For me, that sounds like propaganda. Bo Nix is not a super elite player. He wasn't super elite in college. He was very good. And now because Payton ran Russell Wilson out, which I think was a mistake, because Russell Wilson was playing well last year and Pittsburgh wanted him, and Pittsburgh doesn't make mistakes often in personnel. This is going to be a big topic going forward here throughout training camp up in Denver. We focus on the Raiders and we'll be focusing on Costa Mesa. But I will tell you this, when it comes to the Raiders and competing against Bo Nix, I want to see Bo Nix twice this year. I'd like to see Bo Nix as a rookie play against the Raiders. I think the Raiders will have a big advantage, and they're going to need that advantage because those are two games that they definitely have to win. We played it earlier in the monologue. The Lions, Dan Campbell is now playing down the fact that he was asked if it's going to be Super Bowl or bust. Padded practices haven't started yet. OTAs beginning for the Lions, widely considered one of the Super Bowl favorites. Dan Campbell was asked, is it Super Bowl or bust? And he said, quote, I don't see bust. I see Super Bowl. I don't know what bust is. That's a great answer. Detroit currently has the 4th best odds, plus 1,100, to win a championship, according to several sites out there. And they're looking to end the 49ers. Remember last year they had that big lead against the 49ers in the NFC Championship game. I know you, Raider Nation, and myself were rooting for Detroit to come to Las Vegas instead of Kansas City versus the 49ers, and the 49ers were ready to win. But they had a pretty good offseason, man. They really did. That defense, they bring over from the Bengals, DJ Reader, They got Ennis Rackstraw Jr. in the second round and Terrion Arnold in the first round. And that was a cornerback that the Raiders, I think, were very much interested in. But the Raiders couldn't believe that Brock Bowers was still on the board and ready to go. Also, one other topic here I want to lead off this hour with is Dak Prescott. He said, "I don't play for money." So I've been listening to a couple of shows nationally and locally here, and people are wondering if Dak Prescott could be in the future of the Raiders as the Raiders quarterback next year. And I would say absolutely if he doesn't come to terms on a contract with Jerry Jones. Prescott is in the final year of a four-year contract, $160 million deal he signed in 2021. He has a no-trade clause in his contract, and the team cannot use the franchise tag on him next year. Obviously, Dak wants to stay in Dallas and win, being the face of the Cowboys. And the quarterback of the Cowboys is different than being the quarterback of every other team in the league. The strength of the Cowboys are their global brand. But what happened now recently is Jared Goff got that $53 million annually, $73 million in a signing bonus. Now, Dak is set to count $55.45 million against the salary cap coming up this year. And without a deal by next March, Prescott could be gone. He would count more than $40 million against the 2025 cap and dead money going into next year. So that's a really big decision they have to make. And I'll say this with any Raider quarterback or any quarterback in the league. I would not give Dak Prescott a reward. He's been making a lot of money. Jared Goff, I'd give him a little bit more money because he took the Lions to the NFC Championship game. Tua, I like the way Tua's playing in Miami. He deserves a contract extension. He's proven that he's a franchise quarterback in this league. But the point I want to say, ladies and gentlemen, on the future of the Raiders quarterback, if Dak Prescott is available, or if Kirk Cousins is on a one-year deal because they have Michael Penix and they're able to get out of the Kirk Cousins deal with all the guaranteed money he's going to make, if Aiden O'Connell and Gardner Minshew don't distinguish themselves this year, and I hope one of them does and has a big year, you better believe that the Raiders are going to be in the quarterback market next year via the draft, and there'll be some good quarterbacks, and the Raiders could trade up to get them, because I don't want to see the Raiders get a top five pick. I want the Raiders to win 10 games coming up this year, if not more. But the Raider quarterbacks, it's a slippery slope. If both Aiden O'Connell and Gardner Minshew can't get the Raiders to the playoffs this upcoming year, which Vegas doesn't think is possible, leaving the Raiders with a 6.5 win total, Dak Prescott is going to be a name that's out there. So every time I see a Dak Prescott headline, I'm going to share it with you on Raider Nation Radio because I don't think he's going to be the future quarterback of the Raiders, but a lot of people think he could be. He could be the fit in the prime of his career, big and strong, durable, athletic, can make all the throws. And again, why hasn't he won in Dallas? He should have won by now. Why hasn't Josh Allen won in Buffalo? He should have won by now. We're in the Patrick Mahomes era. If Dak Prescott ends up leaving the Dallas Cowboys, he'll have 6 or 7 teams willing to pay him the market price. And that'll include Jerry Jones. But I don't think that Jerry Jones wants to go out there and pay a premium for Dak anymore. This has really been a black eye for Jerry Jones. For them to go this long and not win and not be a playoff contender or a Super Bowl contender. They can make the playoffs under Romo and Dak, but can they win the Super Bowl? This is going to be a huge year for him overall, Dak Prescott, to prove it. And if they don't give him an extension, if they don't rework his deal and they give him more years on this, you're going to be hearing his name a lot around Las Vegas. I can promise you on that. All right, a couple other things here before we come back. I want to get into Max's little bit of a raise that they have when it's completely official and the language is out there. We all talk about language for contracts. I'm just happy that Max is getting a little bit more money. He deserves it. He's one of the best out there. We played a lot of sound this week. Luke Getsy sound again. I opened up the show with that because I want to make sure that this offense explodes at a faster pace than it did under Josh McDaniels. I never thought that Josh McDaniels would have an offense that didn't have any flexibility, wasn't explosive, and wasn't unique. It was very vanilla. Luke Getsy knows that. He took this job knowing Devontae Adams, who he worked with in Green Bay, would be here. He got Brock Bowers handed to him on a silver platter. He's got some really good, there's some depth in the backfield, right, with Madison and Zeus. And the wide receivers are really good, and the offensive line's been upgraded. So I'm just hoping that we're talking more and more and more about this Raider offense and the 12 personnel, which is normally around the league, a little bit conservative, run it 4 yards and a bowl of dust. No, that's not going to happen here. From all indications, Luke Getsy is going to get this offense up and rolling throughout OTAs and in training camp, and everyone's going to have their playbook, and hopefully it's more exotic than some of the regimes before. He's got to step it up with this offense. It's got to be, let's go downfield faster with a sense of authority and use these two great tight ends along with Devontae Adams, Trey Tucker, and Jacoby Myers and blow the roof off. And that has to be installed right now. So that's a big topic we'll continue to talk about. Also, it's the summer coming up of the top 10 games in Raider history. You'll be able to follow along with me on YouTube at JTTheBrickYT. If you get into YouTube, you can see that. And we're going to start taking your nominations about the middle to end of next week. So if you're in our YouTube page and you go there and in the chat, I'm going to ask everybody if you can. I don't want to use this for phone calls. Don't want to take calls on this. We want to drop in a bomb, the top 10 games of all time this summer. But I want some nominations. And you can throw that into our YouTube page at JTTheBrickYT, and I think we'll have a lot of fun with that. Coming up next, we'll get into the NBA still. I'll stay on that, but Max Crosby and what he's able to do, and what a great weekend it is, Memorial Day. Pay tribute to those who have served this country and lost their lives serving this country. Very important holiday, not just for pool parties and having a lot of fun with bottle service. Remember, respect those who served this great country and put their lives on the line for us. JT, 702-365-9200. As we continue on a Bucket of Modelo Fridays right here on the flagship of the Silver and Black, this is Raider Nation Radio. JT on a Friday as we're back here on Raider Nation Radio, 9:20 a.m. And I hope everybody has a great weekend. This was a big week. A lot went on charity-wise in town this week. Coaches vs. Cancer, the Raiders annual golf tournament. But the week started off with the passing of Jim Otto here for our programming here. And I wanted to, in this final hour of the show, mention that again. And as his family prepares for his service and the Raider Nation still mourns, a 00 Pops, the original Raider, Mr. Raider. I thought in this hour I'd play a little content that I didn't get to this week, which is important to me. I talked to Howard Balzer, the Hall of Fame voter, and Howard started with me. I started with Howard, at Sports Fan Radio Network here in Vegas in 1996. Howard now covers the Arizona Cardinals, before that the St. Louis Rams, and he's followed the Raiders very closely, knew Mr. Davis well, and is really a pure NFL insider. And he votes on the Hall of Fame, and he's kind of my guy inside that room who's voting for the Hall of Fame. So we've been friends for well over 25 years, and I reached out to him because I wanted to get his comments on the passing of Jim Otto, the legacy of the Hall of Fame, his accomplishments at the position, and hopefully another reminder of one of the greatest football players of all time playing for the Raiders. What's great about this organization is so many iconic players who played for this organization are the top players to ever play in the entire NFL. You can go back to Mike Haynes, arguably the greatest corner of all time. Marcus Allen, arguably the greatest all-purpose back, out-of-the-backfield runner of all time. You know, Jerry Rice, the greatest receiver, no debate of all time, played for the Raiders, even though he's known mostly for being a 49er, and then you go with Art Shell, maybe the greatest left tackle of all time, Gene Upshaw, the greatest guard of all time, and then Jim Otto, arguably the greatest center of all time. And that says a lot about this organization and their history, and I always want to get back and stay on the history of this organization as we're new to the market here still in Vegas. We're babies in this market. We just got here. Coming up on this season again, and there's a lot of people driving around or listening that might not know as much as you know about the Raiders and the history of the organization. So earlier this week, my conversation with Howard Balzer from NFL Radio on the passing of Jim Otto and his legacy.
The legacy, JT, and thanks for having me on. The legacy is so profound. I mean, he was the epitome of a football player and a center, an offensive lineman. John Madden used to say that if you came down from another planet and wanted to know what a football player looked like, you'd show him a poster of Jim Otto. And, that said it all. and even he lived it to a degree after his career was over. I mean, countless surgeries. I mean, heck, he was read his last rites 3 times and still kept on fighting and still kept on battling until he didn't have anything left in the last couple of days at the age of 86. So, I mean, 00, that stands out, obviously, and just an incredible player. And like I said, the epitome, of a Hall of Famer. He had been, one of the oldest living Hall of Famers. So another one is, crossed off the list, unfortunately, along with another Bay Area icon, the 49ers defensive back, Jimmy Johnson, who passed away last week, also at the age of 86. So it's sad when it happens. You know it's inevitable, but it does bring back, so many memories. And here's quickly, before you ask me another question, when you hear different things that happen as we all kind of get up in years a little bit, you have flashbacks and memories of things, and it brought me back to the first Hall of Fame enshrinement ceremony I went to in 1980, and that was when Jim Otto was enshrined. And it was the first time I'd been there. I'd only been covering the NFL, on a regular basis for about 2 years at that time. And I was just so impressed by everything in Canton, but totally blown away by Al Davis's speech and what a great job he did for almost a full decade with countless Raiders who would go into the Hall of Fame. And when all that happened that way, I said, man, I got to come back here every year. I can't miss this. And I saw so many of Al Davis's speeches, but, that one I'll always remember as being the first one and, just a tremendous thing. And I said, I don't want to ever miss. I miss some, but I think I'm trying to count. I've gone to about 35 Hall of Fame weekends and hope just being able to keep on doing it for many years to come.
Yeah, it's a great legacy for you as a broadcaster and a journalist and someone who's covered the NFL this long. Another thing about Otto, 210 consecutive games, and when he was a part of the AFL championship game before the merger, he lost 5 championship games in 68, 69, 70, 73, and 74. And listen to this, to the Jets, to Kansas City, to Baltimore, the greatest Dolphin team of all time, and the Steelers, and the Immaculate Reception. If you look at the games that Otto lost, and the Raiders were considered the favorite and the better team in a number of those games, I think it changed the legacy of the 70s, because the Raiders came in out of the 60s and into the merger and played in Super Bowl II and were an elite AFC team, and they went toe-to-toe with the Jets in Kansas City and were beating them in the regular season but lost in dramatic fashion. Otto was a part of so many of those losses that could have changed him into having 2 or 3 Super Bowls along with the AFL championship.
Yeah, no question, and that whole legacy of the AFL, I mean, he was one of – there's not that many players who only played their entire career in the 10 seasons of the American Football League. And he was one of them. So, all those things certainly, are right there. And it's, like you're saying, the legacy is profound. And with what the Raiders meant to the, and other AFL teams, to the growth of the NFL, it's just, you just revel in it and remember it and embrace it, because it's those guys back then that the game was built on, and has it where it is today.
Howard Balzer is our guest. One last thing on Otto before we stay with the NFL is that I'm amazed at how he played through injury, and I got to know Jim really well and considered him a friend. And he had his leg amputated, as so all those years showing up to the Hall of Fame in a wheelchair recently and all the surgeries, and you mentioned him 3 times, almost coding out and passing away. I think he's in a prime example, if not the top example of all time, with Mike Webster, Jim Brown when he played, of these warriors and gladiators who played through injury and pain. I talked to an individual today who said there were games where he was walking off the field in the second or third quarter, you don't think he's going to play, and he plays the entire game. I hope that the younger players in this league, Howard, appreciate that, and some of them study that and understand who built the league so all these guys now can make millions upon millions of dollars in a season when some of these guys didn't make $1 million in their career.
No question about it. And, one last thing on that, you referenced the 209 games, and I've always thought that a lot of times, especially with players who have those long careers, we fixate on the regular season and don't, you know, count, of course, playoff games that were added to that total, and even preseason games, for that matter, back then, when for a lot of those years there were six, and the starters played. You know, they might not have played all four quarters, but they played a whole lot. I think I saw a number that, counting preseason and playoffs, he played 309 NFL games. I mean, that's just a phenomenal number. And I often think sometimes with stats and games and all that, we should look at that more often and go beyond just what they did in the regular season.
Howard, I was a little bit bitter last week that the Jets got six national primetime games in the first 11 because they don't deserve it. They weren't a good team. They went through the Zach Wilson drama. And look, Park Avenue is really close to the Jets, and they're the number one media market. So I understand why you want to put certain teams on Sunday night and Monday night football. But come on. I mean, for the Jets and Aaron Rodgers, he played four games last year. When you saw the Jets with such a nationally televised schedule coming off the season they had last year, is that fair or is that just the way business goes?
Yeah, I think it's probably not fair, but it is the way that business goes, you know, to a degree. And obviously they're betting an awful lot on him staying healthy. That's why they gave a lot of him early in the year, hoping that he stays healthy. But that's a pretty big bet to take with a guy who's, you know, going to be 40 years old. But, you know, I think if it was Aaron Rodgers with the Packers or someone else still playing, it wouldn't have been six. But like you said, the big thing is, you know, the New York market, you know, that's a huge part of it. I mean, we see in years where there's teams that don't even deserve prime time, but you'll still see the Bears on there, and you'll still see some other teams that they're on there just because they're in that big market. So, like I said, they're rolling. I guess it's apt. JT, that a league that's gotten so in bed with gambling is rolling the dice on Aaron Rodgers being healthy, because if he's not, they're going to have a bunch of standalone games there that might not have a whole lot of interest from a lot of people.
Hey, Howard, last one. I want to ask you about Netflix getting the Christmas games and the streaming services. A lot's changed since you broke into the league, but the league's been growing internationally with games now in Germany and Brazil. And now you see a streaming partner come in after Amazon, and it's now Netflix for the two Christmas games. And once Netflix gets a taste of this with their global subscription and how many people watch, they're never going to back out again. They're going to love it and stay in. Are you concerned for the way that football used to be broadcast, or do you welcome these streaming services? Because a lot of our listeners don't have these streaming apps. We think they do, but they don't. And it's going to affect the way we watch football.
No doubt. I don't know that I welcome it, but again, I accept it as just the way it is. And of course, you have Peacock that will have, you know, I'm trying to remember which ones they are, but, well, they've got that Brazil game, and I think they have a playoff game again. And Netflix, I think this was not mentioned by a lot of people, you know, they've been guaranteed at least one holiday game for the next two seasons. And so, yeah, they're going to be staying in it, and it's just the way it's going. Now, how far it goes, I don't know. It's hard to imagine that the NFL will ever leave. I don't think they'll ever leave the networks, because they just get so much money from that. But it's just the way of the world. And I'll tell you one thing. I was talking to someone the other day. When they had that playoff game on Peacock last year, I was struck by the fact that during the game, they did a whole lot of advertising and a whole bunch of promotions for the fact that the movie Oppenheimer was going to be on, was going to drop on Peacock on like February 2nd or something like that. So it's almost like saying to all the people that who were saying, okay, I'm going to buy Peacock for this month for the playoff game, and then I'll cancel. Well, maybe I won't cancel. Maybe I'll stay on and watch Oppenheimer. And they had a very strong, from what I understand, retention of people who came in to subscribe during that early part of the month. I do think that we're going to get to a point, JT, where there's going to be, I know there's bundling being talked about already with Peacock and I think Netflix and Apple Plus. So we're going to start seeing a lot of that bundling to hopefully make it a little bit easier on the consumer, because it's not going away, and it's going to be a big part of the NFL, but it's certainly going to be a part of the NFL where people who want to watch the games, especially when you get to those playoffs.
Howard, are these OTAs important? I mean, it's not training camp. It's OTAs. You got to get guys in the building. They got to have a commitment, a buy-in. Where do you stand on that as I say goodbye? OTA, should we be looking at this? The camp battle start that early if two quarterbacks are competing against each other? Or do we make too much of this and we should just focus more on training camp?
Well, you always have to focus more on camp, but I think this time of the year, it's they're starting this week. It only goes to the middle of June, but it is an important time, and especially when you have so much change, JT, in the league. And everyone talks about the new coaches every year, but I counted up. I think there's half the teams in the league, right around half the teams in the league, have different offensive coordinators than they had last season, not to mention, eight new head coaches. And so this is a time when you get on the field, you can only get so much done, there's no contact, but in terms of putting in, and especially with guys jumping around and quarterbacks going to different teams and learning new systems, this is an important time to get the mental part of it down. So when, along with whatever physical you can do on the field, but then when you get on the field in training camp and you start playing the games, that you have guys who know what the heck they're doing. And so I think it is important. They say they're voluntary, but every player knows how important it is to be there, and most of them are at this time of the year. So, yes, I do think it's important. You're still going to have some spotty play when the season begins, no matter what you do. I think it would be worse if you didn't have a lot of this work that's being done in the offseason.
Thank you, Howard. We'll be listening on NFL Radio, Hall of Fame Radio. Greatly appreciate your time on the legacy of Jim Otto.
My pleasure, JT. Take care.
Thanks again to Howard Balzer for joining us. I hope you enjoyed that. A quick reminder, again, of what Jim Otto meant and some of the issues around the NFL as we get going here. Look, for the Raiders, I am not privy to what they're going to do. We're sitting here. Summer hasn't started yet. I call this the beginning of summer. We have our summertime radio about to begin here. Well, we'll do the 10 greatest games of all time in Raider history. We'll throw in some honorable mentions on top of that, and we're going to do a whole bunch here this summer. But when the season starts, there's going to be something big for Jim Otto, and probably all year long because of the impact that he had on Mrs. Davis, Mr. Davis, and obviously Mark. I thought that was a beautiful, classy move when Mark found out that Jim Otto passed away to head over to the stadium and light the Al Davis Memorial Torch in honor of Jim Otto. I love everything about what Mark does with the legacy of this team because he cares about it. He grew up with these gentlemen and their wives and their families, and he's a big part of it because Mark cares about the history of this organization as much as he wants to win now, and he really wants to win. These events and the passing of Jim Otto, Cliff Branch, who was his best friend, some of the people that we lose every year, and the Raiders lose alumni every year, and a number of them, and we don't categorize them. This guy's better than the other, this or that. But when it comes to Jim Otto, I thought we did a big job this week, and the show that we did with the interviews, Q had a few, I had a few, Clay and the morning show with Vinny, it's all up at Raiders.com. I'd go back and listen in podcast form. If you're just walking the dog, you're out on the street, you're in your backyard, and you want to learn more about Jim Otto, go to Raiders.com where all of that information is there. And again, raise a glass. I raised one earlier this week. Friday's my bucket of Modelo's. And I was thinking about Jim Otto all week because, as I've been saying throughout the course of the show, today my dad is 86. He's home with me. He's here with my mom. We're going to have a big birthday celebration for him tonight. And he's the same age as Jim Otto, who passed away earlier this week at the age of 86. To Jim Otto and his entire family, his wife Sally, his immediate kids, his grandkids, everyone who can hear this, we're going to miss Mr. Raider Jim Otto. We'll be back right after this on the flagship of the Silver and Black, Raider Nation Radio, and we're brought to you by the DeCastaverde brothers. The brothers have your back. The brothers win. When we talk about those two brothers and the legacy of their dad, I mean it. La familia, family. These aren't two guys running around town saying, I was voted the best attorney, and I paid for that vote. Not putting up billboards saying, I'm the best, we're the best, we're number two in a magazine, or number one. They don't do any of that garbage. They're great at what they do. If you get into an accident and you need assistance, if you're injured, you need someone to help fight for you, you got two. The brothers have your back, the DeCastaverde Law Group, 702-222-9999. We wrap up our week here on the flagship of the Silver and Black. This is Raider Nation Radio.
I mean, yeah, that's, people are sensitive these days. So, it's what happens. People have their own thoughts and, take things out of context. But at the end of the day, if we want to win, we got to take him down. So we're not shy about that. He knows every time I play him and every time I see him, I'm trying to ruin his day. So that goes for everybody. So, yeah, people can take that whatever they want, whatever, but he knows I'm coming for him. It's the same. I'm on that energy every time, and I know my teammates are as well. It's not malicious or whatever, people try to say we're trying to purposefully injure or whatever. It's a bunch of BS. We play the game the right way, but we play with ill intent, and we play violent and fast, and we plan on doing that for the years to come.
JT, as we wrap up the week here on Raider Nation Radio, we're brought to you by Resorts World. Great place to check out this weekend, heading into Memorial Day weekend. The pool activations, the nightclubs, the restaurants, the lobby, the gaming, everything's there for you. Go to Gatsby's Lounge. You can head over to 8 Cigar Lounge. You can see our friends over at Wally's. Go to Mulberry Pizza, where the big statue of Mike Tyson is. Just a fantastic place to go. A Resorts World, proud partner of our show and a big one as we wrap up the week. So we woke up today to find out the news that Max Crosby is getting a raise. Paul Gutierrez, Adam Schefter, but we'll credit Paul from ESPN who has this. He reported the Raiders are giving three-time Pro Bowl defensive end Max Crosby a $6 million raise for the upcoming season without adding any years to his contract, which is a big deal. The Raiders are also moving $1.2 million from their 2026 salary into the 2025 season, and this is according to sources. So when these contracts hit and they get out there and they're official, I'm bringing this content today because it's the lead story as I'm looking at you on the NFL page at ESPN.com. What a year Max had last year playing through injury. And again, I'm very honored to be friends with Max. I just emceed his foundation, his first ever event, which Dana White was gracious enough to give us his building, Apex, for UFC. And if you go back with Max, a fourth-round pick for the Raiders in 2019, he was an Oakland Raider, right? We talked about the original Raider, Jim Otto. This is an Oakland Raider out of Eastern Michigan. He is now the face of the franchise, signing that four-year extension with $95 million in new money and more than $53 million guaranteed. He did that on March 11th of 2022. Since then, listen to these stats. He has racked up 27 of his 52 career sacks while twice finishing in the top six of the NFL Defensive Player of the Year voting and being named a second-team All-Pro last season. When he had a career-best 14.5 sacks, he was a second-team All-Pro selection after the 2021 season and Pro Bowl defensive MVP in 2022. If you recall that, I was at that game. He was the only guy playing tackle football. Max opened up the game playing tackle football, and the rest, both teams were like, okay, let's stop this and do two-hand touch. And that was the last time they ever played a Pro Bowl game. That was it. And Max Crosby got the MVP of that game. Rich Gannon won two MVPs at the Pro Bowl. It's a hell of a nice trophy if you can get it, but I digress here. Max, quote, I don't know whether my rookie year seems like 20 years ago or 2 days ago, he said at the start of the offseason workout program in April. Like, it's crazy to me. But yeah, it's been a blessing. I mean, it's been a damn journey for me. And all that matters at the end of the day is winning and winning for this organization. So for Max, his numbers are pretty dominant, but so are TJ Watt. So are Myles Garrett. So a lot of this vote that's coming down for the Defensive Player of the Year is going to have to do with the record of the team. And that's why it's so important that the Raiders continue to get better, better, and better so they're winning playoff games. And then Max can knock down a couple of Defensive Players of the Year. I grew up in the Lawrence Taylor era. He was my favorite player. He was by far the most dominant player in the NFL. And there were great players. Mike Singletary of the Chicago Bears. You look at Reggie White. All the players that Lawrence Taylor played with were unbelievable, and several of them were Defensive Player of the Year, but Lawrence Taylor was in a different category. I don't know if Max can get to a higher of an elite category, but I think he can, where he is obviously, before the first game of the season, everyone says that's going to be the Defensive Player of the Year. We got one in the division, Chris Jones, with all his Super Bowl wins. Aaron Donald just retired. I mentioned T.J. Watt again, the brother of J.J. Watt. Myles Garrett is one of the best defensive players I've seen for the Cleveland Browns. And then there's other players who are also elite and are going to get big-time contracts going forward. But Max has got to stay with all these elite contracts because he's the face of the franchise, and he is the core of this franchise and their ability to work. So you can't come to the Raiders, and there's been teams in the past where, you know, they have some slackers and then some great players and some practice players and some Pro Bowlers. Max is going to demand that when everybody walks in the building, that they put their personal issues behind them and they play football and they play aggressively hard and they practice hard, because that's what he's going to demand. I told you I hung out with Thayer Mumford, the right tackle, the other day, and he told me he goes up against Max every day in practice, and that's only going to make him better. That's what Max expects from this offensive line. Give him a little bit more. Help Max become a little bit better. But I wanted just to share with you a couple of things that, you know, from knowing him from the time he got drafted all the way through Vegas here and watching his sobriety and his growth with his sobriety, that's probably the most impressive thing. You know, he's a father and he's a husband, but the fact that he gave up alcohol and cleaned his life up to become a better human being and a better football player and is selling that message and telling that message to as many people that he can. So when we had his foundation event and all the people that were there, and he talked about his sobriety coach and what it means to him to conduct his life at the best of his ability, I was blown away. I mean, it was very emotional to hear Max talk. But we think of him as a football player first. I think of him as a human being first and a player. I think of him more as the person that I'm getting to know off the field than the great player. I'm amazed at how hard he plays. You know, the thing about Max Crosby is when Max shows up, this is from Antonio Pierce. He said this at the owners' meetings in March. I'm going from Paul Gutierrez's column today at ESPN.com. By example, 6 a.m. to 5 p.m. every day, Coach Antonio Pierce said at the owners' meeting in March, every day, Crosby shows up ready to work. So when you got those kind of guys in your building, either vocally or by example, you got a good culture and a good place. That's what makes him special. And Paul Gutierrez wraps up his column by saying, Crosby has also served as an inspiration in going public with his battle for sobriety since spending part of the offseason following his rookie season in rehab. You know, we know that Darren Waller, who's a great Raider, went through rehab and was going through a really tough time, and Max and him were there for each other. But I just want to wrap this show up and wrap up this week by again saying how fortunate we are with the Raider Nation to see the example that Max Crosby is setting. As a fourth round pick out of college, and there wasn't much expectations. There were from him. And, you know, Brian Baldinger, Baldy, thinks the world of him, give him the nickname the Condor. Right? Some people saw Max coming, and they saw it his rookie year when he played with tenacity. He was so ferocious. And then after his rookie year, his sophomore year, he's just exploded ever since. So what I believe, the message that I want to send to this weekend about Max Crosby is, if Max plays continually at this level and better, because he's just in the beginning of his prime, and Christian Wilkins helps him by being double-teamed at the defensive tackle position, this could change the entire perception of the Raiders going forward. For all the national media that says, well, this team doesn't have a quarterback, which is a lie. They don't have Patrick Mahomes. They don't have Justin Herbert, but they got two good quarterbacks there competing for this job. But if Max and Christian Wilkins and Malcolm Kuntz and obviously Tyree Wilson and the rest of the depth of that defensive line have a year, have a big year, where Wilkins and Max are both Pro Bowlers and first or second team All Pros, that's going to change down in distance. That's going to turn turnovers at midfield. That's going to give Daniel Carlson, by the way, congratulations to him. Saw him in the parking lot after the golf tournament. Three kids. He was smiling ear to ear, and I congratulated him on his third kid. But how do you think Carlson feels now if the Raiders turn the ball over inside the 40-yard line and the drive stalls? He gets another three to put on his impressive resume. It's going to come down to Max. It's going to come down to Max leading on the defense and everyone else getting in line. So as we spend the summer trying to figure out who's going to be the second cornerback, who's going to be the linebacker that stays in on passing downs, all important topics, Max Crosby once again will not leave the field. Last year when he had that knee injury and it was swollen and had to be drained, he didn't talk a lot about it until I think the very last game of the year. Remember, they were thinking of shutting him down and he wouldn't allow it. He rehabbed, he's in great shape, he looks incredible, and he's going to have a monstrosity of a year this year. And on top of that, I hope he carries the Raiders to the playoffs. It's going to be a team effort, but when you got a guy like Max Crosby playing at this level, it's a culture change. And Coach Pierce knows it, and he's a culture change. Our head coach now is a definition of a culture change. A guy who's going to want to come in and make sure every day everybody has a clean mind to play football, get better as football players, and live an extraordinary life. That's what Antonio Pierce is about. He matches perfectly with Mad Max Crosby. So for Max, we'll wait for it to become official and everything that's coming out on all this from what I saw today from Adam Schefter, Paul Gutierrez, all the NFL insiders. Good to see Max on TV today. He deserves this contract money. Not so much an extension, but a little pat on the back. Yeah, $6 million for you and I, a little bit more than a pat on the back. But for Max Crosby, getting a raise for the upcoming season, if anybody deserves a raise, it's Mad Max Crosby. As I said to everybody all week, tonight's a big night for me. It's my dad's birthday. It's my son's birthday. My dad's 86 today. My son's 23. We're going to have a big celebration dinner tonight on the Strip at a great spot. And then we're going to celebrate back here at the house and kick off a good Memorial Day weekend. We are off Memorial Day here at Lotus Broadcasting, Raider Nation Radio. But on that day is my anniversary in radio. I started Memorial Day 1996. It's an important day for me. So as I count down to year 30, close on the radio, coming up right around the corner in a couple of years, Monday is my anniversary on the air. I hope you can join me on Sirius XM, Mad Dog Sports Radio. I'm on from 9 to noon. And how about this? For the next 3 weeks, Sirius XM is free. And they do this heading into Memorial Day every year. They make it free for about 3 weeks for you to sample it. It's the best radio I've ever heard. I listen to Howard Stern in the morning. I'm on Mad Dog Sports Radio. They have channels for all your favorite artists. They have comedy. They have news. They have everything. So sample it. You can check out what I do on a national level. That'll be Monday, 9 to noon. Have a great weekend, everybody. It's my Modelo Friday. I'm going to salute a bucket of Modelos with my sons, my dad, my mom who are in town. I hope you have a great Memorial Day weekend. Be safe. It's a big travel weekend. Coming to Vegas and leaving Vegas. So be safe on the roads. Hope you travel safe at the airport. And we'll see you back here on Tuesday on the flagship of the Silver and Black. Thanks for listening to Raider Nation Radio. Q's on deck with a monster show. Enjoy that, and we'll see you next week.
Appreciate it. Thank you, guys.